We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders, that's big time here in Phoenix, are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. Yep, that's right. Up to $10,000 in total prizes are up for grab each day. The best part, it is completely free to play. The DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from what team will hit the most three-pointers to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code TBPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
Everyone, Tim Kitzer here, the voice of NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcome to the Solar Panel. Tonight's matchup, Espo versus the Silver Fox versus Carmel Thunder. Ooh, boomer shakalaka. Ahoy, ahoy.
Hello and welcome everybody into another edition of the Solar Panel, an audio-only edition. So wherever you are listening to the podcast, we appreciate you, the Flaming Ballers, more than you know. I am your host, Greg Esposito. Ahoy, hoy, and joined as always by the man, the myth, the legend, the Silver Fox. It's Dave King. Dave, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm just going to announce you.
You're not going to make fun of me? Now
it's
I'm going to have to make fun
finals
of myself.
Preview. I can't make
you
fun
asked
of you.
You asked earlier, how old were you the last time the Suns made the Western Conference Finals? And I said, I think I was 94.
Yeah. But anyway. And I think you were 10 years off. So, so he is Dave King. And as always, it is the Carmel Thunder from down under. It is Saul Bookman. Saul, how are you?
Oh, I'm nervous. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I think I feel like everybody else right now.
And again, I love when we have a guest on and I say these dumb nicknames and I embarrass you guys because I'm sure our guests have no clue why those have happened. And at this point, I don't remember why I nicknamed you either of those. But we've got a friend of the program. I'm just going to say
crush on me, really.
I'm just going to say he's a friend of the program because it sounds better that way. He is the PA, the public address announcer for the Phoenix Suns. He's also the co-host of the Bickley and Murata show. It is Vince Murata. Vinny, how have you been, man?
Espo, what's up? Dave, Saul, great to be here.
And we are so happy to have you on. You are the perfect guest because we're all hitting the pinnacle of our long careers here, or short careers, depending on how long you think it's been. Since the Suns have been man.
I love that you refer to this as a career. We sit in closets and home offices.
I'm in a full office, man.
these aren't careers, all right? Vince is the one with the career here. And let's just start it off there, Vince. What does it mean to you to know that on Tuesday night, as we record this Monday evening, that you're going to be the PA announcer for an NBA Finals game. Did you ever imagine that you would be sitting in that seat someday doing that?
No. I mean, this is my fifth year doing the job. In the first 4 years, there wasn't a whole lot of real good basketball to speak of or any reason to believe that the Suns would be in the finals. So I'm thrilled. I'm honored. Jeff Munn, who held this post for a long time as the PA announcer, told me something last week that resonated with me. And that was, you know, Stan Richards had his finals in 76. I had my finals in 93. Hopefully you get to say those words that we never got to say. And that really hit home. I mean, obviously when the Suns clinched the Western Conference Finals, I know this internally, this is my job, this is what I have to do. But when other people tell you that, it hits you a little bit differently. It has a little bit more gravity to it. So
do you think it'll hit hard tomorrow night when you're sitting there getting ready for starting lineups?
Yes, although I don't think ABC televises the starting lineups for game one anymore. I think they'll be in a commercial break for that. So I'll be nervous, but not as nervous as I would be when they used to do that back in the day.
Oh, that's terrible. I didn't know that. That's like my favorite part is the intro. So
it was always a part that I enjoyed too, but I guess we're in the minority there, Saul.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I really hope they come up with a really cool intro for the fans at the arena to watch, because, you know, we're all there for you, Vince, and we're all really appreciating the intros. And that's just so fun to see those guys. Those guys really get into it during the introductions, too. Mikal Bridges doing his little dancing and running around and all those other guys just jumping around. That's probably the most animated I've seen. And you do a great job calling those guys out, you know, one at a time for the starting lineup. So good on you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I was going to say earlier, when you do, you know, when you're getting hyped up for something like this, do the player intro, or I'm sorry, not the player intros, but the commercials and the ad reads and, you know, the 7 and 7 and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Does that kind of like calm you down a little bit because it's not so, you know, energetic and hyped up?
Yeah. So usually my role starts about a half an hour before tip off, and it's commercial reads, it's promos for the team, just, you know, things to messages for the in arena crowd. And it really does. Because I'm one that will read over the script, but I won't read it out loud before the game. So that'll give me my reps that I need just to make sure that I can read that night and not stumble or stammer or anything like that. And then as we get closer to tip off, the first thing really that requires any sort of energy is the arrival of the players on court, which is usually about 16 minutes. Before tip off, when they come out of the tunnel, they turn out the lights, and I get to let loose a little bit there. So that gets me going. But I mean, I think any PA announcer will tell you, regardless of what sport they do or what team they work for, kind of the reason why they do the job is for the player introductions. It's cool. My first PA gig was for the Rattlers, and I did that for 6 or 7 years. And I remember going to Rattlers games when they first started, and they've had the same kind of intro their entire existence. It's Fang on the motorcycle going to center field, and, you know, Metallica, Enter Sandman playing. I always thought it was the coolest intros in sports. They've kept it forever. But that's one of the reasons I wanted to do Rattlers PA, was because I love those intros so much. But yeah, it you know, the intros are where it's at.
I got to tell you, my low-key favorite part of your PA announcing, though, is the fact that, you know, if some random guy on the Suns makes a three-pointer, and recently, last few years, it's always been random guys making three-pointers for the Suns, and you call it like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then on the other end, you'll go like, Tyler Ulis, 4-3! And then on the other end, Damian Lillard. And then...
That's what you want, though.
That's one of the trends in PA announcing that has changed. And again, going back to the Jeff Munn days, Jeff was very, because this was the style at the time and this is what was asked of him, he was kind of middle of the road, not too energetic about the Suns, not too melancholy about the opponents. That's changed. Yeah. I have a friend who's a PA announcer for the Houston Rockets, Matt Thomas. And he went viral a couple of years ago in the playoffs when the Rockets were playing the Golden State Warriors, and he's doing the visiting intros, starting lineups. And he could not have sounded more put out or disturbed to announce these guys' names. And it was the tone of his voice was so funny. And we've joked about it. And that's kind of become the norm. It's like you can't show really any love to what's going on with the player introductions for the visitors or if they do anything good on the court. It could be some earth-shattering slam dunk. And, yeah, Paul George.
Yeah. Look, I've known and worked with you for years, Vince, and to me it seems like the reaction to the opponents is more your normal mentality there. So is it weird to have to get super excited and then be more yourself for the opponent?
It is, and it's been an adjustment this year because we have a new game presentation director this year, Sean Martinez, who came over from the Detroit Pistons, and he's got a lot of experience in the league. And it's been a transition because we started the season, and what was asked of me was to be more energetic. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but a little bit more cheerleadery, which was strange at the beginning of the year because I was doing PA to players, coaches, and referees. There was nobody in the arena. So as this has developed, I rely kind of on that Rattlers experience because, you know, the indoor football or arena football PA position was different because you're a cheerleader. You're getting the crowd going pretty much after every play. So I've kind of relied on that. It's not, you know, my normal comfort zone, Espo, but I've grown into it. And when the games get bigger, it gets a lot easier to get into that mode too.
Sure. One last PA announcing question, at least for me, and then we can get into more of looking at the series. But
the Sun Solar Panel PA training, right?
Yes, it is. You know, when people turn to podcasts, they want to learn how to be public address announcers, and we're just trying to fill that void.
Everybody's waiting with bated breath. Let's go.
More PA questions. Oh my God!
Oh, I love it.
Don't stop.
Hey, you can't spell solar panel without PA.
You cannot. So, and this is a little bit basketball, but during that Valley Oop play, and you did a piece for it on ArizonaSports.com about it, but you had to pause in announcing what the result of that play was because there was the review and everything. How nerve-wracking for you, because I know you grew up a fan of this team as well. How nerve-wracking was that moment for you to have to pause like that, know everybody's waiting on what you're going to say, and know that you may have a reaction to it as well internally that may not be favorable?
It was weird because, you know, I was on the mic for as the PA announcer for the 2017 play where Dragan Bender had a similar play, different location on the court, but Tyson Chandler dunked it. At that time, I did not know the rule. So if you find that on YouTube, you will not hear me announce the basket counts because I did not know the rule. But now I knew the rule. So I knew the basket was going to count. I'm waiting basically for instruction from the official after the review, and they were looking at the time. But I also knew probably 80 to 90% of the fans in the arena were not familiar with that rule or didn't remember that play. And there was nothing, you know, I wasn't trying to build up the moment or anything. I waited for instruction and, you know, Scott Foster was the lead official that night and he gave his explanation and then he stopped pressing the button and he started to walk away where I started to make my announcement after further review. Then Scott Foster turned around and hit the button again and started talking more. So I had to wait until he was finished. And people kind of viewed that as, wow, you're building the moment. Now, the announcement that followed was positive news for the Suns and their fans. So there was this explosion. But, yeah, I felt in that moment that 16,000-plus people were waiting for my next words, which I've never felt before. And as a guy that's been on the radio for 25 years, that's probably not a good thing, but it all worked out well.
This season, there's been so many crazy play. I know it will. What? Sorry, I just want to do one more background question. Then we probably should talk the finals since they're starting tomorrow.
Sure.
But what's been the, as a PA announcer? Could be this season. Could be a prior season. What's been the like the weirdest moment for you where you don't know exactly what to say happened as the PA guy? Because you got to call just about everything that just happened out there. Do you just go quiet? What? Tell me some moment where you were at a loss for what to say.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, the weirdest moment was definitely the Valley Hoop play with everything that went into it. But earlier in the playoffs in game one against the Lakers, when Chris Paul went down, I announced, I'm trying to remember how that shook out. He got fouled on that play. I think there was a foul call on the play. So I'm waiting for the signal from the official on who to announce the foul on. And I see Chris Paul is kind of in distress. He didn't fall in a normal way. He wasn't on the ground. He was writhing in a strange way. And at that time, I have my toggle switch still pushed down. And nobody noticed this, so I'll admit it to you guys. But I started to say, uh-oh. So the first syllable came out, and I said, and I was like, oh, geez. And I finished the uh-oh off mic. But it was so loud in the arena, nobody actually knew it. But that's where, I mean, it can be difficult because, you know, as a fan of this team for 40 plus years, since I was a kid, to have that position, most of the time, hey, you remember, you're there to do a job, you do the job. But that was my first playoff game. So yeah. I'm reacting like everybody else is reacting. It could have been disastrous. It could have been one of those negative viral moments, but thankfully that didn't happen.
Well, hopefully there's more to come for sure. And
hopefully not negative moments.
No. Good moments, of course.
Positive viral.
Yeah. There you go. We could talk all day about this matchup and the different scenarios that could play out. But what is the one thing that you are looking forward to the most about this matchup between the Suns and the Bucks?
I think these are two really good basketball teams. I think they're the two teams that have handled their business in the most, mature way. With adversity on both sides, there's a reason why both of these teams are still standing. But honestly, right now it goes beyond the matchup for me. It's again to feel that energy that the crowd is giving. I'm a little curious. I've heard and done some reading and research on it. The ticket prices are astronomical, as you would expect for an NBA Finals, first time in 28 years. I'm wondering if that has any effect on the energy in the crowd, because it's been from game one against the Lakers through the last game against the Clippers. I think every time the Suns have had a home game in the playoffs, it's been an increased level of energy and atmosphere. And I think the players feed off that. So I'm hoping that trend continues, but that's been the biggest rush, other than the Suns winning and making this run, is just to be in that environment where, it's been like a morgue for a few years.
Yes.
2 years ago when the Suns were winning 19 games, and I know you guys are at all the games under normal circumstances, it was tough to get a reaction where you walk away from a game going, do these people even care?
By far the loudest celebrations was the t-shirt throw in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've had moments where it was ear piercing. I mean, when that kid took his shirt off, I think that was in the that was unlike anything I've ever heard for volume during a timeout. So that's what I'm looking forward to most. I think it's going to be a really great series between two really good teams. But the energy is paramount for me.
Did you ever imagine in your career you'd utter the phrase, when that kid took his shirt off, it got really loud?
No, I can't believe I actually said it now.
Well, when you look at this matchup, obviously the Giannis injury is going to play a big part in the way this series turns out, and he is listed as doubtful for game one. Mm-hmm. But outside of Giannis's health, what do you feel is the biggest factor in determining which one of these teams is going to walk away with the Larry O'Brien trophy?
It's going to come down to offensive execution. I think these are the top two teams when it comes to defensive rating in the playoffs. And even if you take Giannis out of the lineup, which I don't know how much he's going to play. You know, his nickname's the Freak. Does that have to do with his healing ability? I'm not sure. I don't expect to see Giannis at 100% if he does play in this series. But even so, you've got other defenders, Drew Holiday, PJ Tucker, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, all plus defenders. And the Suns play great team defense and have a couple of individual great players as well on the defensive end. So I think it comes down to shot making. And I think we've seen that with Chris Middleton on Milwaukee. They're undefeated when he hits 40% of his shots or more. And that's not even a great number for him because we know and we've watched, anybody that's watched the Suns play the Bucks over the last few years, Chris Middleton, even though they only play twice a year, he's killed the Suns on a couple of occasions with some clutch shots and some game-winning shots in there. So shot making's at a premium, obviously. And, you know, the way the Suns ended that series against the Clippers has to give you a good feeling because they were clicking on all cylinders offensively in that game six.
So being on the floor, do you get a sense for there's this whole talk about Scott Foster covering, you know, any Chris Paul playoff games. Chris Paul's lost 11 straight playoff games against. Obviously, you haven't been the PA announcer in those because, you know, it hasn't been this year until the Lakers won. And I don't know if that was at home, the one he lost to Scott Foster at home this year, or if it was on the road. Anyway, do you get a sense of when there is tension on particular refs with coaches or players being down there on the floor?
Not really. And I don't want to pin it on any specific official either. I know the Scott Foster story is well chronicled, and he can be a frustrating official, especially in the last 2 minutes, like we saw in game two against the Clippers, because he's so reliant on the instant replay and it kills the flow of the game. And Chris Paul's win-loss record is out there in those games that he officiates as well. I think it's just a case by case. I usually pick up, Dave, on some sort of frustration, regardless of who the officials are. It's very rare where, you know, from my vantage point, I've walked away from a game where I feel like me personally, that was a thoroughly officiated game or a well officiated game. And most of that comes from the reaction I pick up on from players, and players from both sides. I mean, it goes both ways. This isn't an anti-Sun sentiment necessarily. I just think the NBA in its current form has become a really difficult game to officiate.
Yeah.
And a lot of that goes back on the players because, you know, they'll spend time in the summer working on ways to find loopholes and ways around, the rules or ways to create contact. And I'm glad at least, you know, verbally they've said they're going to come out and try to crack down on that this summer, because, you know, the foul hunting that's going on right now in the NBA is I think frustrating, and the Suns participate in it too, just like everybody else.
Yeah. It's kind of ruining the flow of the games too. You know, it's just, it's just not good basketball to watch. And it makes these 2 hour games go like 2.5, or sometimes even close to 3 hours, because it's just so many whistles, which is obviously a problem. But, obviously if Giannis comes back, I did want to say, like, from my perspective, you know, Chris Paul missed 2 games due to COVID, and it basically took him 3 games to come all the way back to the form he had in Denver. The same thing for Giannis could be said as well, and he's going to end up missing more games than Chris Paul. The flow and the rhythm of him coming back in that scenario. Let's say Giannis is out. You know, he is out tomorrow, but, you know, however long he is out, do you see Milwaukee without Giannis winning a title?
I don't, and I would be saying that it's all if they were playing the Clippers, if they were playing really anybody who was fully put together in the Western Conference. I know they beat Atlanta twice without Giannis to wrap up the East, but, you know, Atlanta wasn't whole. I mean, Trae Young missed a full game, and I think he played game six on guts alone. I don't think he had really anything to offer Atlanta. So you take one of the best players and one of the hardest guards, players to guard in the league away. I think, you know, they can win a couple games. I don't think they can win 4 out of 7 games against this Suns team, which again has I think, been the most impressive, the most complete team in the playoffs, the way they've taken care of their business.
Vince, you mentioned it. You've been a Suns fan for 40 plus years. You've been in this market for amazing.
I'm only 29. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, math isn't your strong suit. So.
Literally conceived Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals in 1993.
Look, you've been here. You understand the psychosis. I get stats. I get the eye test. I understand all this, but there's the little voice in the back of my head going, this is still an Arizona sports team. What can you say to me to make that little boys feel better? I'm turning to you, which means you know I'm desperate.
Shit out of this.
I think a lot of that rides on game one. This is the third trip the Suns have made to the NBA Finals. They've never been in the lead in either of those previous series. They were at one point tied with Boston 2-2 in 76. They never led against the Bulls. They got as close as 3-2, obviously, before they lost in game six. I think just having a lead in the NBA Finals, that's the way I'm looking
helpful?
At it.
Hey, you think that's helpful, right?
I look at a lot of this like Espo does. It's like – the history is not on Phoenix's side. I get it. This team to me is just cut differently than other Suns teams. The path has been different to get there. There's not that, unbeatable roadblock in the way. I can remember how I felt in 93. That was a magical season. They won 62 games. The path to get to the finals was really, really difficult.
Seattle was really good.
Really good. And they went to overtime in game five against the Lakers, who were a sub 500 team in the first round. So there was, built in confidence that, hey, the Suns have been the best team all year long, but .. Oh yeah. There's that Michael Jordan on the other side. And he wasn't even at full Jordan power at that time. He only had two titles going into that. He went and averaged 41 points per game in the series.
Only 41 points a game.
I don't view, obviously, Milwaukee and their pedigree. They've been close for the last couple of years, but even Giannis healthy is not a Michael Jordan type killer. So I don't think the roadblocks are the same.
I agree. I was talking about that with some friends over the weekend. It's so true, because back in '76, you had the juggernaut Celtics. I mean, they had been in the finals the year before, won it the year before.
The Suns were playing with house money at that point too, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Vince, like if the Suns somehow do win this championship, or even if they don't at this point now, I think whether they do or they don't, I think you still get the same outcome with Devin Booker specifically, and now DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson that will carry on, and maybe even campaign. Even though it might have been quote unquote not the ideal road for an NBA fan, do you think this is what propels them to maybe hopefully a couple years of success like the Golden State Warriors kind of did in 2015?
Yeah, I mean, in a vacuum, I'll say yes. Obviously, things around the West are going to change. I think you mentioned Golden State. I think they're going to be back. Can they have any more bad injury luck? I don't know. I have a hard time envisioning Chris Paul not being in Phoenix next year. With this run and with all the talk about this team chemistry and the growing profiles of Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, this is a place people are going to want to come to for less money than they can get elsewhere. That's the trend in the NBA. So I will somewhat reluctantly say yes. I see this as the beginning of, maybe a 4 or 5 year run where the Suns can be a real power in the West.
Vince, we'll let you go, but I am going to see you tomorrow on your show. I'll be part of the roundtable with you. And if I bring a blender, can you find a 1964 and a half Kennedy half dollar that we can put in there to try to make sure we take care of that curse before game one?
I like the way you're thinking.
You got to try something, right? He is Vince Murata. You can listen to him on Bickley and Murata every weekday, 10 to 1 on Arizona Sports 98.7. FM. You can also follow him on Twitter at Vince Murata. And if you were lucky enough to have NBA Finals tickets, you'll hear him on the PA call for all of the home games in this NBA Finals. Vince, thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Yeah, thanks, pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Vince. See ya.
Always a joy to talk with Vince Murata. And let's, guys, I got a few things that I want to talk with you guys about before we get out of here, because this is our big NBA preview, NBA Finals preview show. Not that you'd know that from the first 9 minutes of us talking about PA announcing.
It felt like an off-season one for a little while, but you know what? It's fine.
Yeah, it did.
You gotta ask the guy about those things when you've got him in the building, mm-hmm. and always good. But you know, when you look at this series, we talked a little bit about it with Vince, but what do you feel is the biggest X factor on either side? Like what is going to determine this series and who is going to be NBA champion? Saul, let's start with you.
Man, I cannot help but feel this championship is going to come down to four individuals: Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cam Payne, and Jay Crowder. I just think that those four provide the Suns the depth that they're going to need to beat this Milwaukee Bucks team, because I feel like they're a little shallow. And I think their depth is better than Milwaukee's. And if those guys show up and play, like Mikal specifically kind of had an off series last series, if he can come back and play like the old Mikal, and Cam's good to go with the shot like he has been in the Clippers series, I just don't see any way the Bucks win even a game in this series. But if those dudes don't show up, and they've had a rough little patch here, ooh, it's going to make it a lot closer. So I just think our reserves need to be better than their reserves, in short.
Well, I'm going to go in the other direction. I'm going to say the obvious, and I'm going to keep it simple, stupid. It's DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul. Those guys have to be stars. Ayton has to hold. He's going to have a couple of different issues in this series. Of course, he's had issues in prior series as well. He had to deal with the current MVP in round two. He had to deal with Anthony Davis for part of round one. He basically played Andre Drummond off the floor, despite Drummond getting all those stats in the first round. He wasn't playing by the end of the first few games. He wasn't playing by the end of the round. And then obviously in the Western Conference Finals, he had to go against small ball and or Ivica Zubac. And those were actually really tough assignments. And I thought he handled every single one of them well. And now he's going to have big, huge Brook Lopez, who, depending on whether Giannis plays or not, is suddenly the old offensive-oriented Brook Lopez, who scored 20 points a game for the Nets for 7 years in a row or something like that. People forget that. They think he's just Ivica Zubac now, and he's not. He's got some really good game, and he's bigger than DeAndre, so that's going to be a real challenge. And then on the other end, he's going to get stuck on Giannis sometimes, in a positive way, stuck on Giannis sometimes. The Suns are going to want his length against Giannis if Giannis plays well. So DeAndre Ayton, huge for him, huge for him. And Devin Booker and Chris Paul have to basically bookend the series. They're going to have to. They did it in the Western Conference Finals with 40-point games apiece. They're going to have to do it again. That's the only way the Suns. Now, Saul, I think what you're doing is you're assuming those guys are going to show, and they're going to show well, and the difference will be the bench, because Milwaukee's big guns will show well. I really think the Suns' defense can hold down Milwaukee's big guns in most of the games. There's going to have one or two games where they're going to play really well. Chris Middleton is obviously an X factor because he can get hot. But I really think it's definitely the Suns' three stars and their ability to hold down the other team's stars enough to beat the difference.
Well, to be clear, like I agree with that, but what I'm saying is if all things considered, if our starting five is better than their starting five, I'll just say it like mm-hmm. that. Okay. But it's a marginal difference. Maybe it's 1 or 2 points, maybe it's five, whatever. But it's not so much of a difference as I believe our bench is versus their bench. And if our bench shows up, I think these games won't be as close as maybe the Clippers series. I'll say it like that.
Hey, can I also make a big prediction? I'm going to make a big prediction that Dario looks athletic in this series. Because whenever I watch the Bucks play, I feel like they're a bunch of Darios. I think so. Dario's going to look really good in this series.
He's going to look like he fits in. Well, finally, yeah. That'll be nice. That will be nice for Dario to fit in. For me, it comes down to two things. How do the Bucks defend the pick and roll? If they drop back in coverage, it's obviously going to come down to the Suns hitting those mid-range shots, which we know they can do as well as anybody. Chris Paul had the highest percentage for mid-range this year. Devin Booker was fifth from that. I think it was 54% and 50% this year from mid-range. So if they drop back, it's going to come down to that. If they don't and they stay tight on those things and they switch everything, it's going to come down to what favorable matchups can you get for the guards, and how does Ayton roll to the basket? How strong does he go to the rim? Can they get him the ball in those pick and roll situations? I think that is a huge one offensively. And then if Giannis plays in this series, DeAndre has guarded him in both of their matchups this year. How well can he defend Giannis? And if Giannis has slowed down at all from that knee, has he lost that quick step that was what he was able to beat DeAndre on in a lot of cases in those two matchups earlier this year? I mean, both of those matchups were 1 point. I mean, it was an overtime win for the Suns, and which was that crazy foul at the very end where Devin Booker got the free throws, and the other one was when Giannis missed the shot because DeAndre Ayton guarded him so well, one-armed. I mean, he got that weird shoulder thing.
Yeah, but I mean, in both of those games, in the fourth quarter specifically and down the stretch, DA matched up on Giannis and was able to hold his own. And so I am very confident in DA's ability to guard Giannis, especially considering, you know, Giannis's three-point shot. You know, he's definitely got one of those shots where I'm like, well, dude, let him shoot. Like, I'd rather him shoot than try to attack the glass. So,
And how much do you think – I mean, Giannis's free throw struggles have been documented. So if he is back in this series, deciding to foul him strategically, I think, will come in play in this series. You may even see Frank Kaminsky's six fouls get used at some point if we get to that point. That's the toughest thing. We don't know if Giannis will play, and if he does, what you're actually getting out of him. I mean, it's a dramatically different series if he's playing. Yeah.
The Suns have had to prepare for both teams because in the last two games of the Hawks Bucks Western Conference Finals, they did not have Giannis, and the Bucks played completely different offense than when they do with Giannis on the court. And so the Suns have to prepare for both. And it's going to be whether they can handle both, obviously, is the question, because now the Bucks have newfound confidence. And they had really devolved. It was frustrating to watch the Bucks play against the Nets and against a really depleted Nets and then a really depleted Hawks. The Suns get a lot of crap for getting all the way to the finals. The Bucks got an even easier road to the finals than the Suns did, and it was harder for them to get out and make it to the finals, and that was most of that was with Giannis in there. So it's going to be very interesting. Espo, your comment on the pick and roll defense, the Bucks are going to play. They are number one on defense in the playoffs, even with having played the Nets 7 of their 16-17 games. And being able to, you know, still be number one on defense is very, very important for the Suns to be able to break that down. And the thing is, though, the Suns really struggled when Chris Paul could not hit shots, and there's no reason to think he won't be back to old Chris Paul. And Devin Booker obviously needs to be able to hit his shots. So I really think it's going to be a fascinating series. I think it's more likely that the Suns close it out in 5 or 6 than any other scenario, but we're homers, right? I mean, the bettors, the betting is going toward the Bucks these days. Yes. And a lot of the national folks are siding with the Bucks. And I really think that's going back to the same reason they sided with the Lakers, same reason they sided with the Nuggets, same reason they sided with the Clippers, is because those guys were in the finals in the playoffs last year. And the Suns weren't. And so people don't believe in the Suns yet until they see it. Heck, Drew Holiday, let me tell you how little people know about the Suns. You know what Drew Holiday said in his presser today? He said, you know, I know the Suns play super fast. And we got to deal with their transition. I'm like, what are you talking about?
He watched the two games campaign was playing point, starting at point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't like rushed or anything. He like came out of that all on his own. What are you looking for against the Suns? Well, we know they play really, really fast. We got to be able to defend in transition.
Well, they play faster than maybe they did earlier in the year, but they don't play fast.
Really fast. That's historical Phoenix Suns basketball, but that's not today's Phoenix Suns basketball. So
I'm fine with that. If Drew Holiday doesn't know the defensive assignment well enough, that's good because he's one of their better defensive players. So I'm fine with him being confused about what's going on. I think it's interesting that the betting money that you bring up, Dave. I think that the fact that it's leaning Bucks way is because it's favorable odds right now, right? Suns are favored, and they're probably looking at it, well, that's hedged because of the Giannis factor. We're going to get in there because the odds are good right now to take the Bucks. And I think Vegas always knows what they're doing. They get people to bet where they want them to bet, and I think that's part of what's going on when it comes to the money. Speaking of money, we're gonna do
DraftKings.
What was that? Yeah, we're gonna do one of my favorite new segments on the show. We've done it once, and Dave didn't have any clue what was going on. But we'll do it again. Major props. We're gonna do major props brought to you by DraftKings. And Dave, I've simplified the premise this time. I went and I looked up the odds for NBA Finals MVP. At DraftKings, and I will ask you guys who you want. But first, a message from our friends at DraftKings. Breaking news, DraftKings free-to-play pools are keeping it cool all summer long. Choose from a wide variety of free contests to enter the pool and answer a handful of questions. Make picks for free and grab your share of $10,000 in weekly prizes. Dive into a DraftKings pooled party today. Entering one of DraftKings free-to-play pools is simple. Just download the DraftKings app and head to their pool page. Select from one of DraftKings' many contests ranging from that evening's sporting events to Wacky Weather Wednesday. Saul loves when I read Wacky Weather Wednesday. He just waits for that.
I feel like this promo is just going on forever.
Then make your picks and watch the action unfold, and whoever gets the picks right, they win. That's how it works.
How gambling works.
I've cracked the gambling code. There, if you pick Josh winners, you let's win go to money. Vegas
right now, let's go.
I'm like the guy. I'm blanking on his name. Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover, right? I look like him right now too, so that works. Now that you know how to play, which really I shouldn't have to explain it. You've heard me explain it a million times. Download the DraftKings app. Sign up. Use the code DryHeat, and then you get a free shot at $10,000. That's code DryHeat, and
I'm just butchering this thing. That's what I'm talking about.
It's all threw me off, and now that's code dry heat to feel the sweat, because what you want to feel in Arizona in July is the sweat. All right, just go outside, you can feel the sweat without a code. But that's code dry heat.
Speaking of sweat, Espo reading that promo.
Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So next time, shut up when I'm trying to read the ad, all right? Just shut up. No, I'm just kidding. So DraftKings, we're going to look at the odds for MVP of the NBA Finals. I want to know, do you guys think anybody is miscategorized here? And if you had to, you know, if you had to pick a long shot, who would you, and who's your favorite overall? So a few things here. Devin Booker is plus 250. Chris Paul is plus 180. Chris Middleton plus 550. Giannis Antetokounmpo is plus 380. And then you've got Drew Holiday at plus 900. DeAndre Ayton at plus 2500. Mikal Bridges, not Miles Bridges. If Miles Bridges is on this list, I think they've done something wrong. Mikal Bridges plus 10,000. Same with Brook Lopez. Cam Johnson plus 15,000 as his campaign. Pat Connaughton, 25,000 plus 25,000 as is Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker. Who who, Dave, would you take as your long shot? And then who do you think should be the favorite to get MVP if you're going to put some money down on this?
I totally missed. Did you say what was DeAndre Ayton's line?
DeAndre Ayton +2,500.
Okay, that's what I saw earlier today too. I think he's being underrated. Remember when Andre Iguodala won finals MVP for defending LeBron James well enough for the Golden State Warriors to beat the Cavaliers. And LeBron still averaged over 30 points a game, but somehow Iguodala, who barely scored in the series, got finals MVP. And then there was another year where somebody got finals MVP. Kawhi, his first year getting finals MVP wasn't for his offense. It was for him defending LeBron James in the finals. So having said that, if Giannis is healthy, I really think DeAndre Ayton can be a dark horse MVP for his overall defense in the series if the Suns win.
I mean, anytime you get 25,000 to one odds, you got to take him, right? So I think that who's the 25,000 for the Suns?
25,000 for the Suns is actually the Suns don't have a 25,000. They have two 15,000s and Cam Johnson and Cam Payne that you could go with. PJ Tucker, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton are 25,000 to 1.
Ooh, yeah, I would definitely take Cam Payne, 15,000 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's if you're going long shot, I think that makes a lot of sense just because of the impact he had on last series. A guy I'm surprised, and Suns fans aren't going to like me saying this, but Drew Holiday at +900. He showed last series that if Giannis is out, he can be an important part of their offense and is even with Giannis. But defensively in this series, where he's going to play on both Devin Booker and Chris Paul, it would not surprise me if he has a major impact defensively too. That +900 stood out to me on this list. But you know what?
But which Drew Holiday are you going to get? You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like you get the Hawks Drew Holiday. Yeah, he looked like a superstar. You get the Nets Drew Holiday. He did not look like a superstar. So which one's going to show up in the NBA Finals? I think that'll.
And that's why they call it gambling.
There you go.
Look, I think Chris Paul's probably the smart money, just simply because of the fact that all the storylines lead back to Chris Paul. It's this Cinderella story if he wins it. So if he has a good series, even if he's not necessarily quote unquote the best player,
he'll be the feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. I still think he's going to get finals MVP.
I can see why you would bet on Drew though. So in case you're disappointed by a Suns loss, at least you make some money at it.
There exactly. You know, you gotta hedge your bet sometimes in life. And that would be one that I would do. A game one coming up. We're recording this Monday night, coming up on Tuesday when you probably will listen to this. What are your thoughts, Dave? We'll start with you on game one. What do the Suns have to do to come out strong and show that they, you know, that they can protect home court like they have in the first two series?
First three, actually. They've won the first two games in all three series, first game in all three series. And I think that's shown what kind of resilience this team has and why they're, as Vince said earlier, this team is cut differently than prior Suns teams. This team is just different. And one of the things that's different about them is they don't beat themselves. You've got to beat them. And when they're at home with the fans behind them and they're focused, I think they mailed in game five. We talked about this last week. You know, at home, they could have closed out in game five. And I think they mailed it in thinking somebody was just going to hand them the flowers. They're not going to do that in game one. And when they're focused and when the Suns really know they've got to win a game, they win it. So what I'm looking for is not a big win, but I'm looking for a solid win by 5 or 10 points by the Suns, where that is their first ever finals series lead.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one to go with. I am looking at who's going to guard who, basically. So is Drew Holiday going to match up on Devin Booker, who gave him problems in the fourth quarter of their last matchup in Milwaukee? Or is Drew Holiday going to go guard Chris Paul and PJ Tucker or Chris Middleton line up on Booker? And then who is PJ Tucker guarding if it's not him? It just goes down the list, you know? And I think for everyone we have a matchup for, not necessarily the same thing on the other side. You know, you have Chris Middleton at the guard position. We have Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and they have Drew Holiday. I guess that evens it out, but I don't know. I just want to see the matchups and how they fit in this finals, because I think it's going to be one of the more intriguing matchup, you know, game to game series that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I think you're right on that front, and we'll wrap it up here in a second. But you know, I'm thinking about that, looking at it, and something that Vince said kind of got in my head. Did those ticket prices and how much it costs to get into the building make it prohibitive for those extremely loud fans to be there? What is the dynamic like?
I don't either, but it got me everyone thinking. Who's gone to the prior games just sucked it up and still I saw on Twitter getting tickets for these finals. So I really don't think so. I think fans see this just like they see the biggest games in sports. And while you're pissed that you spent all that money for the game, when you're there, you're going to get the very most out of it. So I actually think they might even be a little bit louder. They're certainly not going to show up and huff and puff, because you know you're at the finals, and the reason you're buying these tickets is to go to the game. I do think there is a chance that there's, of course, Milwaukee fans don't travel, so I don't think there's going to be a big Milwaukee contingent, but there will be some fans who are trying to flip these tickets and want to make a little bit of money because they spent so much. So there's a chance you'll get some out of town fans if it was an LA team, but this Milwaukee, man, I don't see how many of those are going to travel. We'll find out.
Yeah, but you get the corporate factor. There'll be ABC people that they've given tickets to, those kind of things that happen at these bigger events. I hope it's as raucous, because that has been something that has helped the Suns throughout this playoffs. But I really think it comes down to, like Saul said, defensive matchups, and then just how the Bucks decide to play that pick and roll initially. I know what I love about the playoffs, guys, though, is you're
going to watch for matchups in game one. Absolutely. But what's so incredible is it's fun. These last three playoff rounds, it's like been so long since I saw the playoffs, I forgot this is true. Every game is different, and they will go, you know, it'll be different matchups almost every game, especially if they don't work the first game. So I will be interested to see who they think they can match up against best and who the Suns think they can match up against best. I'm guessing the Suns are going to try to get Mikal on Chris Middleton for most of the game, unless Middleton proves to be a little bit too physical, because Mikal's problem is a little bit physicality. And when it gets physical, then you get Cam Johnson in there, because Cam actually has a little bit more sand in the bucket than Mikal does when a guy is actually using some strength against him. So that'll be really interesting to see how they match up with Chris Middleton. Well, also, and I would leave Chris Paul on Drew and see how that goes. And then DeAndre on the big guys. So Bobby Portis, could you guys have imagined a year ago that Bobby Portis might be the X factor for the Bucks?
Nope.
In the series?
It's very weird. But you know what is also weird? Jay Crowder and Torrey Craig could be the X factors for the Suns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Torrey Craig too on Chris Middleton. That could be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it, Jay Crowder actually played these guys in the playoffs last year, knows them from playing them in Miami. And then obviously Torrey Craig spent a lot of time there this year. But let's get to it. Final things. We have to lock in our predictions with the series starting tomorrow, Tuesday. Dave, what's your prediction for the series? What do you got?
I'm disappointed, because I think it's going to be Suns in six, and it'll be four straight rounds they clinch on the road. That's my only disappointment. I don't see how they're going to
clinch. No, they won't clinch at home if it's six games. They'll clinch at home if it's six games.
No, I looked at the schedule. It's 2-2-1-1-1 again. Yeah, so
it's
back to the 2-3-2. Yeah, they're not doing 2-3-2.
Oh, yeah. Man, I missed that.
So
okay.
I thought so too, until I saw the schedule. It's 2-2-1-1-1. So it'll be just like the prior rounds, and I'm disappointed because I don't think the guys can close in five. Although this time, if they are up 3-1, I do think they'll close in five. I just don't see Milwaukee not getting a 2-2 split on the first four games. So that's how I see it going. 2-2 split in the first four, Suns in six.
I've looked at this a million different ways, and if Giannis doesn't come back at full strength, like full Giannis, maybe I'm being overconfident, but I just don't see how this series goes past five. I just don't. I think Milwaukee maybe wins one on the road, but like you said, Dave, I think if they go up 3-1, it's over. And I'm not going to say Suns in four, but it's pretty damn close for me. So I think four or five, and I'll lean to five just for a little bit of error.
My heart says Suns in five. My head says Suns in six is likely where we're headed. I mean,
you almost said Bucks.
No. I'm uncomfortable with this feeling that the Suns are going to take this, and there's no doubt. And that's what scares me, because I've never had this feeling in my entire life that it's no doubt. I just feel like this is the year that this team is the most complete team we've seen, and that it's going to happen. And that's, I don't feel confident enough to pull the trigger on Suns in five. I'm going to say Suns in six, but I do feel confident enough in saying this will be the first time in history that the Suns have been in an NBA finals and there isn't a triple overtime game. I feel confident in saying that.
Oh, wow.
So that is a bold.
That's true.
So that'd be
wild, wouldn't it?
That would be crazy if for the third time ever. And those are the only two triple overtime games in finals history, and they both involve the Suns. We'll see if history repeats itself for a third time. Look, that's the end of our finals preview episode. A big thanks to Vince Murata, the PA announcer for the Phoenix Suns and the host of Bickley Murata on Arizona Sports 98.7. FM for joining us. I always love his perspective, and can't believe that's the first time he's ever been on the show. I've known him 15 years, and yeah. I finally went, oh, we should ask Vince to come on this thing. so nice of him.
Probably
to stop by.
Left out.
Yeah, you can follow him at Vince Murata. You can follow Dave at Dave King NBA. The NBA is there because now he gets to look like real media, because there's actually real media attending Suns games for the first time. And then you can follow Saul Bookman at Saul_Bookman. The underscore is there to fit the giant question mark of if Giannis Antetokounmpo is actually going to play in this series. And then you can follow the show at Sun Solar Panel. You can follow me at Espo. So for the guys, we will talk to you after game one, a post-game edition of the Sun Solar Panel with the Jam Session guys. Until then, ahoy hoy.